Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I am your host, Hannah Elise. I hope you're all having a great start to your week. And if you're not, it's only the beginning of the week, so you still have time to turn it around. Today's episode is about something that I think is really important, and I'm excited to talk about it. But first, I want to tell you about my weekend because I actually had quite an eventful weekend. My friend Emma came into town again. She is like always here. It's so funny. She has an apartment in Boston, but she travels a lot. She works for a travel company. So she's almost always just not in the United States. And when she is in the United States, she's rarely in Boston where she lives. She comes to New York all the time. So she came to New York this weekend and she stayed over with me the night she got in. And then we got up, we got coffee, we got lunch, met up with Amanda, got more coffee, chatted, hung out. It was such a nice time. Always nice to see her. That night I also went to dinner with Amanda and some of her friends from home that I love. So that was really fun. We went to a Mexican place in Hoboken. And then Sunday I went to the Jonas Brothers concert at Yankee Stadium with Amanda. I bought these tickets when they went on I got the pre-sale code for night one of Yankee Stadium, which was Saturday, but I didn't get tickets for that day. And then they ended up adding a night two, and my pre-sale code still worked. So I got the tickets months ago, and the concert was on Sunday. It was so much fun. I've never seen the Jonas Brothers before. And I have been on such a concert kick the last like year or two, because now that I live in a place that pretty much every artist and every tour stops in, like there's usually a stop in or around New York somewhere, which is so convenient. And also now that I have the means financially to go to concerts, I am taking every opportunity because they just make me so happy. I love music so much. Music means so much to me, and getting to hear songs that like shaped your childhood by a band, brothers, people, anyone that played a big part in any part of my life is just so special to me. So it was so surreal getting to hear the Jonas Brothers live after they were such a big part of my childhood. Like Jonas LA, their show, and Camp Rock. I mean, seriously, getting to be there was so awesome. They performed for 3 hours, which was amazing. I don't know how these artists have the endurance for this, but I'm grateful that they do, because we all got our money's worth. They played songs from every single one of their albums. They played, I think, like 60 songs total. They did some mashups, so like parts of songs connected to parts of another song. But to touch on 60 different songs is wild in one concert. They put on quite a show. It was so much fun. If their tour is coming near you, I highly recommend you go. I just had a great time. The whole day was so much fun. It was a beautiful freaking day. I love a Sunday. I really do. And especially a sunny Sunday. I don't know, something about it, man. It's like Sunday fun day to the absolute max. Amanda and I went to the sports bar that's one of the sports bars that's across from Yankee Stadium. It's called Billy's. Before the concert, we got some food, we got some drinks, we met up with some friends. They played banger after banger. They were playing obviously a lot of Jonas Brothers. They played One Direction, and then they started playing a lot of Taylor Swift, and it was so much fun. Everyone in there was just screaming at the top of their lungs. They started with like Love Story, and then they played Cruel Summer, and oh my god, like just singing, like screaming the bridge of Cruel Summer in Billy's was not something I expected to do, but it's something that I'm really glad that I got to do because it was so much fun. So we like kind of pre-gamed the concert there, and then we went over. I do want to go back though to touch on Billy's one more time, because while I was at Billy's, I met somebody who I love. And I have to tell you this story because I'm trying so hard not to look back on this and like cringe at myself. I don't know, guys. I used to fangirl like a motherfucker when I was in like middle school, and I would go to professional soccer games and I got to meet a lot of the women on our U.S. women's national team. I was just floored every single time, like fangirling to the absolute max. But since then, I feel like I really haven't had the opportunity to be around people that I truly enjoy watching or listening to what they do. And at Billy's, let me backstory this for a second. My favorite podcast and my number one podcast on my Spotify Wrapped last year will definitely be number one on this year is Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran. If you know, you know. I love them. I just love their podcast so much. And I listen to it. I listen to every single episode. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I am a loyal ass Chicks in the Office fan. So a while back, I don't remember. I think it was one of their live shows. Maybe Fran posted a story in her like outfit and I like responded to her story, like just swiped up on her story on Instagram and like complimented her outfit or said she looked good or something. And she answered. We've kind of just like chatted back and forth here and there about things. She's also an Eagles fan. I'm an Eagles fan. So during the Super Bowl, I was talking to her about that and like just little comments here and there. She went to the Jonas Brothers concert the night before on Saturday, and she had talked about how she was going to that for a while, and I had messaged her and been like, you need to go Sunday. I had a feeling she was going to go Sunday because she's a huge Jonas Brothers fan, and she basically was like, I might be going Sunday. So then she posted after Saturday's show that she's going back again, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to say hi. Like, I just simply have to say hi. So I said that, and then she told me where she was sitting. So I was thinking I was just going to see her at the stadium. But then I'm at Billy's. I'm with Amanda, and then I ended up meeting up with Mac and her friend Logan as well. We got drinks. We went upstairs to, like, the balcony-ish area of Billy's. And lo and fucking behold, who's there? Who is there? Fran. And at first, I was like, is that her? Like, I did a double take. Amanda saw her, but I kind of was like, that's not her. And then I looked at her, and then Amanda looked at me kind of like, that's her. And then I was like, wait, what? What's happening? I just wasn't expecting. My heart was racing. I don't know what even elicited this response. I got, like, nervous because I wanted to go say hello, introduce myself, and I was, like, praying that she would recognize my name when I told her because I had just been messaging her. So, but I was like scared to go up to her, which is, I mean, I know she's just like a normal person, but it's so interesting when you see somebody in real life whose voice you listen to for hours upon hours every week, every single week, and you just like get to feeling like you know them kind of, like they kind of feel like a friend, even though obviously like I don't know her personally, but I spend so much time listening to their podcast and it just brings me so much joy that when you see someone like that in real life, you're like, oh my God, wait, this is crazy. It's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs. For Mean Girls girlies out there, you get that reference. Okay, one thing leads to another. I'm standing there for probably a solid 10 minutes contemplating, like, do I say anything? Like, is that weird? I don't know. And then I think about, you know, the handful of times people have ever come up to me, and I have never once thought it was weird. I have always been extremely flattered and just like excited to meet people, and it makes me so happy. So I'm like, okay, I don't need to feel weird. I can just go say hello. I decide I'm just gonna do it. I turn around, I walk up to her, my dumb ass. I tap her on the shoulder and I go, are you Fran? Listen, I wanted to make sure it was her. That would have been so awkward if it was just somebody who looks exactly like her and wasn't her, but it was definitely her. But I just had to, I couldn't be like, hey, love ya, you know? So I tap her on the shoulder. Also, she is like the same height as me, and I'm 5'4". I don't know why I expected her to be tall. That's another funny thing about seeing people that you follow on social media or listen to or watch their content. When you see them in real life, you're like, I pictured you as taller. I pictured you as shorter. So you don't know until you're in real life, but they're right in front of you. So she was like the same height as me. I like tap her on her little shoulder and I introduced myself. I said, I'm Hannah. And she was like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you. So I think she recognized my name. It was just so nice. So I told her that I just love the podcast and they like really get me through my weeks and they just bring me so much joy listening to them. And she was just very, very sweet. We took a photo and she hugged me goodbye, which was, she was just such a sweetheart. And I was so happy. Made my whole day. I was like, I can go home. I'm so happy. I'm not like idolizing the girl, but I just really, I love her personality. I love her and Rhea, and I love the podcast so much. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. So it was just really exciting and fun to get to meet her in person. She was very, very kind, very sweet, and it just made me love her even more. And it made my day, and the vibes were just so good. The place was packed. It was loud. And the boys sounded amazing. They looked amazing. It was a great experience. It was a great day. Great night. Loved it so much. So that was my weekend. Thank you so much for listening to me ramble on about all of that. But I had to tell you. I'm still so excited about it. Like, it just, I'm sitting here smiling, thinking about it. It's just so cool to get to meet people that you like. I don't know. That is that. Now we are here. And it's time to get into today's topic. In case anyone wanted to know, I'm just drinking water today. I meant to get more poppies and or Olipops at the store, but I freaking forgot. I just keep forgetting. And I love drinking those during episodes. And also I love drinking coffee, but I'm recording this episode at night, so I didn't want to make a coffee. But I guess I could have. Like, what's really stopping me? I've done it before. One time I made a coffee like 2 a.m. So I don't know what my point is. But anyway, okay, let's get into today's topic. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about because I am an absolute massive advocate for this. And I want to talk about today why I think it's so important for everybody to have a hobby. And I want this episode to maybe just inspire you to, if you don't have one right now, find one, pursue one. If you have one that you're already doing, continue it. If you have one that you picked up but you lost it for a little and you want to get back on it, let this be the sign that you maybe were looking for to pick it back up again. Because I am a true believer that everyone should have a hobby. And I am telling you right now to get a hobby in a positive way. I love hobbies. I love talking about hobbies. I love thinking about hobbies. I love finding new hobbies. I love finding just things that I am interested in. And there is honestly nothing, I don't know if there's actually anything in the world that I love more than hearing somebody talk about something that they love and are truly interested in and watching the way that their face lights up when they talk about it. It just makes me so freaking happy. And I love engaging with people about the things that they love and hobbies that they have and what they're interested in, because it just, hearing people talk about something that they love is one of my favorite things. And I also love it when people talk to me about things that I love. And if I have a hobby or an interest that I am so excited about, I want nothing more than to talk about it. First of all, let me just define kind of what I think is a hobby. I think a hobby can be almost anything as long as it meets a few criteria, okay? Number one, a hobby is something that is intended for someone to do just for fun, purely for enjoyment. No monetary gain involved, no financial incentive. You're not doing it to make money. You're not doing it to beat somebody else. You're not doing it to show off. It's something that's just for you. You're not gaining any external accolades or compensation for it. It's just for your own internal enjoyment. And second, a hobby is something that you take an active role in. You are participating in it. It's not something that you're kind of just letting happen in the background or happen to you. It's something that you are actively participating in. And I don't mean like active in a sense of physical activity. That can be a hobby, but those I think are the two main criteria. You could look at almost anything as a hobby or do almost anything as a hobby. I could sit here and list like 300 things that could be hobbies. I am a very creative person and I tend to really enjoy and lean towards creative hobbies. So these can be anything from, like, when I started my YouTube channel, that was a hobby. Now I don't classify it as a hobby because I make money from it. So it doesn't meet that criteria of just doing it for me. I am still doing it for me, but it is now also making me money. So that doesn't count, I don't think, as a hobby anymore. But drawing could be a hobby. Painting could be a hobby. At one point, oh my gosh, I missed this. This was so fun. I would watch Bob Ross tutorials on YouTube. And if you aren't familiar with Bob Ross, first of all, oh my God. Second of all, Bob Ross is a painter. He used to have a TV show. And I feel like I remember watching it on like Saturdays or something with my dad. And I don't remember what it was called. But if you search Bob Ross on YouTube, you'll see what I mean. And I just loved his energy so much. I loved his paintings. And the show was like meant for you to kind of follow along. So I had a time where I followed Bob Ross paintings as like a hobby. And I really want to get back to doing that. That was so fun. I at one point started painting them on a set of coasters. And then the coasters, like, if you put them together, it made the painting. But then you could obviously also just use them separately. And it had just a part of the painting. It was really cool. I did that. But anyway, painting could be a hobby, any type of painting. Watercolor painting, that's actually something that I would like to get into because I think that watercolor painting is really cool. Making music, singing, playing an instrument, learning how to play an instrument, pottery, glass blowing, I don't know. DIYs of any kind, crafts of any kind, jewelry making, sewing, knitting, crocheting, you get the point. Those are all creative activities that would make great hobbies and that do make great hobbies for a lot of people. Obviously, that list is way longer than what I just listed. If you think of literally any specific, it could be the most niche thing ever. And it's something that you want to learn how to do and you want to do it just for fun, that's a hobby. Other, I feel like popular hobbies include, but again, are not limited to, reading. I fuck with reading so heavy. I love reading. I'm reading a really good book right now. It's called The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah, and I want to continue reading it really bad, but I've been busy the last like week, but I just enjoy reading so much. It brings me to another world. It gets me off my phone. It honestly, reading, I feel like helps me with my vocabulary. I mean, obviously, I feel like that's not revolutionary. Reading helps me with my vocabulary. It helps me also speaking, like public speaking, quote unquote. And I feel smart and I'm entertained. And it's just for pure enjoyment and quiet time with myself. I could pretty much look around at anything in my room right now and consider these things a hobby. Candle making could be a hobby. Woodworking, writing, journaling, photography, videography. And then there's a million different subsets of those things that you can hone in on and practice, and that could be hobbies. You get what I'm saying. Hobbies are everywhere. If you look around at just where you are right now, look around, you could probably make a hobby or find a hobby in most things that you see around you. The list and the possibilities of hobbies are endless. And I love that. You can choose to learn about anything. There are so many opportunities for you to explore. They're truly endless. And they're all for your enjoyment. You can learn whatever you want as a hobby. There are a gazillion topics and subjects and things to learn about. And if you're really interested in something, learning about it can be a hobby. It's just, the list is absolutely endless. And there's possibility everywhere. Now, like I said, I think that everyone should have a hobby. At least one. And I've compiled a list of several reasons why I think this is. And I want to run through this list with you. Basically, the benefits of having a hobby and why they are so good for you. So, number one, having a hobby improves your mental and or your physical health. I think that the improvement of your mental health is one of the biggest arguments for why someone should have a hobby. It's one of the most common things that I see and hear from people who have hobbies is just that participating in something just for your own enjoyment, exploring something that you are interested in, learning about something, learning how to do something, doing it just for your own enjoyment. No stress, no expectations, no constraints is so good for your mental health. It makes you feel good mentally. Also, depending on what your hobby is, it can be good for your physical health. There are a myriad of different hobbies that you could take up that are active. You could run, walk, yoga, Pilates, any sport, any team sport, any individual sport, anything, any physical activity thing, swimming, tennis, I don't know, boating, skiing, a million different things. Those all benefit your physical health. Very important things to take care of, and are, when those are the byproduct of you doing something, improved mental health, improved physical health, that's a win. Next, having a hobby can improve your creative problem-solving abilities. You can learn different ways to solve problems. Not, when I say problems, I don't mean that in a negative way. Anything that you have to learn how to do is, I guess, technically considered a problem. Like anything that you have to learn how to overcome could be considered a problem, but not all problems are bad. Like, for example, if you're learning how to play the piano and you're stuck at a certain part, that could be considered a problem, but it's not a bad problem. It's more of like a challenge and a point of growth. And if playing the piano is one of your hobbies and you want to improve your skill with this, then you have to problem solve. You have to solve that problem and figure out how to make it stick for yourself. When you have a hobby or multiple hobbies, especially ones that are different than what you do for work, you can expand and improve your problem-solving abilities in different areas. And you get more practice with problem-solving in an environment and in a mindset where you don't have external pressures or stressors. When you take the pressure of something off and you have no external forces at all, it's just for your own enjoyment, it frees your mind up for more fluid creative thinking. So having a hobby can facilitate new and different and improved problem solving abilities. Next, I think this kind of, I don't know why I wrote this as a separate one, but this kind of relates to the first one. Having a hobby improves your overall well-being as a human being. Because having a hobby makes you happy and makes you feel relaxed. Doing something that you enjoy for the sake of enjoyment should make you happy. If your hobby doesn't make you happy, then I don't think that you should be doing that hobby. You need to find a hobby that makes you happy. That's like kind of the whole point. So having something in your life that you can look forward to, you can be excited to think about, and you can be excited to just do, and it makes you happy and it makes you feel relaxed, it takes tension off your mind. That in turn can improve your overall well-being. Any moment throughout the day that we can make ourselves happier and ease some stress and feel relaxed improves our overall well-being. Even if you feel like it's not a huge thing, maybe it's only like 10 minutes. Baby steps still make progress, and it's better than nothing. So even small improvements are improvements. Another thing that I already kind of touched on, but having a hobby reduces stress. If even only for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, you're focusing on something that you enjoy, you're not thinking about, or hopefully anyway, not thinking about stressful things. You're just letting yourself have fun and enjoy something for a little bit. And also, when you are actively like learning how to do something, if you're learning a skill or you're trying to improve something or whatever it even is, whatever your hobby is, and you're growing at it, it makes you feel good because you're having little wins. You're accomplishing things. Another benefit that you can get from having a hobby is building or improving your relationships with people. You can make friends, and a lot of people do make friends because they have similar interests and similar hobbies. If you go to a class of some kind, like an art class or a workout class or just anything where people come together to participate in a hobby that everyone's interested in, you can meet people that way because you already have something in common. You both enjoy the same hobby, and that's a great way to start to form a connection. But also, having a hobby can improve your relationships with people because of all of the other things that I've already said. It improves your mental health. It improves your overall well-being. It makes you happier. It makes you more relaxed. It reduces stress. All of those things factor into the way that you move about the world every day. How you address situations, how you interact with other people, your headspace. So kind of indirectly, having a hobby, and also directly, hobbies can improve your relationships. Having a hobby gives you the chance to explore opportunities purely for enjoyment. As I already said, there's about a gazillion different things that you can do that are hobbies, or that you could make hobbies. Just there's so many things you can do. The opportunities are literally endless. You could pick the most niche thing imaginable and take that on as a hobby. There's not even a number in my head that I could put onto how many opportunities there are. And taking up a hobby allows you to explore so many things, so many opportunities. If you have a lot of interests in a lot of different areas, you don't need to put yourself in a box and only focus on doing one of those things. If you have interests in other areas that maybe you don't get to explore as much in your day-to-day life at work or at school or whatever, hobbies are the place for you to do that. You can explore as much as you want. There is no limit. And also, hobbies are low stakes. You're not doing it for anything external. You don't owe anyone anything with your hobby. So if you end up trying something and you don't like it and you don't want to continue, you don't have to. The stakes are so freaking low. You can just move on to another one. You're not married to any hobby. You don't owe anyone anything. It's not making you money. You're not relying on it for anything. You can try things if you don't like them. You can leave them behind and try something else. Having a hobby gives you the chance to challenge yourself and grow in some way. I already touched on this as well. Learn a new skill. Challenge yourself in a healthy, fun, low stakes environment. I feel like we are challenged every day, all the time, in not low stakes environments, in our workplaces, in our relationships, and there are consequences. Sometimes, like when you're getting challenged, I feel like most of the time stressful, or it has some type of stressful implication because there's an external factor involved. But with a hobby, you have the chance to challenge yourself in a purely fun, no stakes at all, freeing type of way. And you give yourself the chance to grow in some way. Grow in knowledge, grow in skill, grow as a person. The last thing that I wrote down for why you should have a hobby is that it allows you to find purpose in your free time. If you are somebody who finds yourself feeling bored in your free time, anytime that you don't have something that you like have to do, finding a hobby may be what you need. Maybe you just need to find purpose in that time and fill it with something that you enjoy, that you want to work towards for fun. Now, going along with that last point, I know a lot of people are probably listening to this and saying, I don't have free time. I am so busy. I don't have time for hobbies. I'm just so busy with all my other life things, with work, with social things, with relationships, with managing all the things that I have to manage in my life. I don't have time for hobbies. I don't have free time. And to that, I say, I understand. I feel that way more often than not. And when I am looking at my days and I kind of am just like going through the motions every day, managing the things that I need to manage, I feel like I don't have any time to sit and relax, sit and breathe, and do something just for fun. Because I think in this day and age, and did I make a podcast episode about this, or was it a YouTube video? It may have been a YouTube video. I made something about productivity culture. Now that I'm saying this, I think it was a YouTube video. But I also have definitely talked a lot about productivity and productivity culture on this podcast before. I made a whole episode about productive procrastination. I think in today's day and age, in today's society and all of that, it is so fast-paced. I know different even countries and cultures have different paces at which people move. Some people have a much slower, relaxed pace, and that's like the norm. But I think in the United States, at least, and from what I've seen and know, it's very fast-paced. It's very go, go, go. It kind of sometimes feels like we're all running on a never-ending hamster wheel, and we're expected to be productive and getting shit done and on top of things every second of the day. And if we have any time that's free time and we're not working towards some type of goal that's for an external purpose, then we're wasting our time. And I talk a lot more about this in the toxic productivity culture video that I made. But because of this, I think a lot of us, and me included, have kind of been made to feel like if we aren't working towards something at every minute of the day, like if I'm not thinking about work, or I'm not working on something, or I'm not working towards some goal, making more money, doing more of this, more of that, then I'm wasting my time. And I should be using every minute that I have to push myself forward in my career, and push myself forward financially, and push myself forward, whatever. But that way of thinking leaves out the fact that we as human beings need a fucking break, because we're human beings, not robots. And the aforementioned productivity culture and the notion that we should all be using every minute of our time to be productive and to work towards our goals or whatever the fuck, and push ourselves forward in our careers and stuff, and to get ahead and to be the most successful and have more of this and more of that, that's robot core. That is us treating ourselves like we're robots and not like human beings. And the truth is that we are not robots, we are human beings. And we need to act accordingly. It is important to fit hobbies into your busy life. And I know that the thought of adding another thing to your life, like having to make room for something else, can be overwhelming. Because if you already feel like you're overwhelmed with the shit that you have to do already, the thought of adding something else is like, dude, don't even think about it. Like, it's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I can't do it. I can't even think about adding something else to my day, to my schedule. It's full. I hear you. Okay? I get it. But I want to talk now about how to fit hobbies into your busy life. We already talked about why you should have hobbies. I talked about it for like 30 minutes. We've gone through all of the positive benefits that come from having hobbies in so many aspects of your life. And even just like mental health aspect, your mental health reaches every single part of your life. It's not just like you're doing a hobby to improve your mental health while you're doing the hobby. No, when you're improving your mental health, that's a ripple effect. And your mental health will then start to be kind of in a better state when you're attacking and looking at and solving and doing all the other things in your life, which can make them more manageable. When you come at something with a good headspace, and if you're in a good headspace, you are more likely to find ways to do them and not be miserable in the process. If you're in a good place mentally, tasks don't seem as detrimental. If you're in a negative place mentally, everything feels like the end of the world. We've already established that. We know why you should have a hobby. The case has been made for hobbies. But now we're going to talk about how. How do we fit hobbies into our busy lives? First and foremost, I would like to say that your happiness and my happiness, all of our happinesses, are worth prioritizing. We are so quick to prioritize, and obviously when we have people we're accountable to, external factors, people we owe things to, deadlines, colleagues, anything that we, like work-related things, like those are prioritized because we're responsible for them and we need to be responsible as adults. But we fail sometimes to remember that we also need to prioritize ourselves. We can get so caught up in prioritizing everybody else, what everyone else wants from us or needs from us, all of our responsibilities, and we forget that our biggest responsibility in this life is to take care of ourselves. Because at the end of the day, if we are not taking care of ourselves, everything else can't happen, can't work. We are at the center, and our well-being is at the center of everything else that we do in our lives. Of course, you need to prioritize the things you're responsible for to other people, but in order to be able to do those things and do them well, we actually first need to prioritize ourselves. Our happiness and our enjoyment of life is worth prioritizing, and we deserve, you deserve, to enjoy life. We were not put on this earth to just work like robots for our entire lives and then die. That just is not what we were put on this earth to do. That's not the meaning of life. So that's the first and foremost thing about fitting hobbies into our busy life. We should do that because we deserve it. Now let's talk about actually doing it. So at first, if you want to incorporate a hobby, and maybe your day-to-day schedule is super packed and you don't think that you could do the hobby every single day, like make it a daily thing, try to look ahead at the next few weeks and identify gaps in your schedule. And when you identify those gaps, tell yourself, make a conscious effort that you're gonna practice your hobby during those gaps, instead of trying to like squeeze it in every single day for the sake of consistency. Just work with what you have at first. Don't put pressure on yourself to do this every single day, because hobbies aren't supposed to feel pressured. They're not supposed to be stressful. They're the opposite of that. But I understand that implementing the hobby and actually like practicing it and doing it can take some maneuvering. Like if you truly don't have any ounce of time that you can spare one day, don't force yourself. A hobby is supposed to be an escape. It's not a chore. But also be aware, and this is another bullet point I had under this that I'm just going to go into now because it fits. Be aware and understand what is taking up a lot of your time already that isn't work related or job related. What else are you doing that's taking up a lot of your time? For me, sometimes I will sit and be like, oh my God, I have no time to do a hobby. I'm just busy all the time. And then I catch myself at night before bed scrolling on social media for an hour, scrolling through TikTok for an hour. When I could, instead of doing that, do a hobby. I could read a book instead of scrolling on social media. I could read some of my book, or I could draw something, or I could whatever I feel like doing at night instead of scrolling on social media. Social media, this is just an example for me personally, but whatever it is that is taking up a lot of your time that may not necessarily be good for you in the first place. I'm really just referring to the social media example, so bear with me. I catch myself on my fucking phone all the time. It's like an instinct at this point. It's just a reflex. If I have a second of boredom or I'm not currently focusing on or working on something, I'll just go on my phone and I'll scroll on social media for no reason. Mindlessly. Aimlessly. So I need to understand and catch when I'm doing that, because that takes up a lot of my time. And it's a waste of my time, to be honest with you. It's a waste of my time. I could be using that time to do something that's going to actually make me happy, be creative, improve my mental health, and that I'm like, I could use that time to build a skill or build an interest. I think it's important when you're looking at your schedule and just like, it's just all about being aware of what you're doing every day and how you're spending your time and identifying if there are any areas or things that you catch yourself doing that could be instead used to pursue a hobby. So then once you identify something, like for me, my social media example, when I identify and understand that social media scrolling takes up a lot of my time and I know that I would rather spend that time doing something that actually makes me happy and feel fulfilled, I then need to make a conscious and active effort to shift that time and to utilize that time instead for a hobby. It's one thing to understand and to acknowledge, like, I'm doing this, it's happening, but it's a whole nother thing to do something about it. Making a change can be difficult, and making a change often takes more work than just continuing on with the status quo. But in most circumstances, it is worth it to make that change if it's something that you feel will genuinely benefit your overall well-being. And I could just look on my phone. Like, if I go on my phone and I go into my screen time, breaking it down by app, or what, should I do that right now? Let's see. Let's expose myself. Daily average screen time. 6 hours and 23 minutes is my average. Oh, I'm sorry. It just changed. Updated today. Fuck me. 7 hours and 31 minutes, it says now, is my daily average screen time. So let's see. What am I spending that on? Social takes up 5 hours and 9 minutes of that. Average a day. 5 hours and 9 minutes. How many hobbies could I pursue in 5 hours and 9 minutes a day? When it's put right in front of my face, I'm like, wow. So if you have an iPhone, I don't know if other phones have this as well, but if you have an iPhone, you can go into your settings and look at your screen time. And you can see how much time you're spending on social. And if you, like, that's time that you could be using for something that will actually improve your mental health and not just aimlessly scrolling and burning time. So basically my point is, I have the time. I sometimes feel like I don't have the time, but it's because I'm filling my time with shit that doesn't matter. And it's funny for me to say shit that doesn't matter when my job is literally on social media, but I think there's a difference between utilizing social media and knowing your limits with it and having a healthy relationship with it, kind of, and just letting it overtake your time and having no self-control. But we're going to move on to the last point I have on how to fit hobbies into your busy life, and that is to try the small breaks throughout the day approach. If you have some downtime for like maybe 10 or 15 minutes in your day to do a hobby in a small dose, like if you have like maybe 10 minutes to like read or something, or I don't know, meditate or do a little workout or whatever your hobby is, you could try that, space it out, and not have to allocate a block of time in your day to do it if you don't have a block of time and you have instead small breaks throughout the day. Obviously, if you don't really have small breaks throughout the day, it doesn't apply. But if you do, that could be an option. Either way, the most important thing to keep in mind is that your happiness is worth prioritizing and you deserve to take care of yourself. At the very core of it, you deserve to take care of yourself. And that can look a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that it can look is through pursuing a hobby that you're interested in and just doing something for fun and for you. It's not unproductive. It's not a waste of time. If you're doing something that makes you happy and it's benefiting your well-being, that's not a waste of time. You don't have to be solving freaking world peace with every waking moment of your day in order to have your time be considered productive. Productivity comes in a lot of different forms. Rest is also productive. If you feel that you need to just take a second and do nothing, think about nothing, and rest because that's what you need, that is also productive. Just because you're not doing work or advancing your career or making money or whatever with all of your time doesn't mean you're wasting your time. Hobbies are not a waste of time. They're not productive. They are essential and they're important for your well-being as a person, as a human being, because you are not a robot. That's all I've got. I also listened to, this was like, when did she post this? A year or 2 years ago? Emma Chamberlain's podcast, Anything Goes. She made an episode about hobbies as well, and I really loved that. I just love hearing other people talk about hobbies. I love talking about them, so I will link her episode down in the show notes if you want to go listen more about hobbies. If you haven't heard me say the word hobby or hobbies enough, you can go listen to that as well. I really liked that episode when I listened to it. I need to go listen to it again because she released that one a while ago now. But that's all I've got for you today. I love you so much. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Digital Diary. Let this be your sign to explore hobbies, explore possibilities, and dive into something that you're interested in for no reason other than your own enjoyment, because that is enough and you deserve it. Again, I love you. I will talk to you next week with a brand new episode. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. Talk to you then. Bye.